power, 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 power. Power when we worship. Power when that power is available right now. That power is available right now. Just begin to tap in on it. Oh, begin to acknowledge the power of God that's within you and around you and in your very worship. Power of God to do anything that needs to be done is here tonight. Power when we worship. Power when we worship. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may take your seats. Praise the Lord for power when we worship. Power when we worship. Thank you, praise and worship team. That's just what I needed. Just what I needed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word tonight. And Lord, I just pray that this word will be not only meaningful, but that this word will change things that need to be changed in our lives tonight. In Jesus' name. Another song along this same theme that we sing sometimes is praise is a weapon. Praise is a weapon. The devil is afraid of praise. Guess who's here? Welcome home, Sam. Praise the Lord that Sam's here. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Are the kids going to go up with Lucy? Are you getting ready to do that, Lucy? Okay, kiddos can go with Lucy. That's going to be so much fun. I want to go. I want to go. There they go. They are the best kids in Douglas. They're the sweetest kids in Douglas. Kingdom kids. Oh, praise God for children. Bless them, Lord. Bless Lucy. May they have an anointed class tonight upstairs. Well, some of you know Pastor Terry Matthews from Oasis Church in Albuquerque. I've known him since 1971 or two. So that's almost as old as I am. Mitch knows him. Some of you may know him. Terry Matthews and his wife Angel. By the way, she is an angel. She's a beautiful woman. But they're Barbara and I's age, and so they're just 39. But they were very instrumental in the area of Albuquerque, New Mexico, back in the early 70s when the Jesus movement was really taking off. And they were thinking outside the box and outside of the traditional church that was of that day, and they just really got on a Jesus theme and got excited about the Lord and turned the world upside down, turned their part of the city upside down. Anyway, we pass literature back and forth. He gets ours and we get his. And I haven't seen him in several years now. I think Mitch has seen him since I have. But anyway, Terry Matthews, enough about him. He's in his last correspondence and a letter he sent out, he said, shout, don't doubt, and the Lord will work it out. Shout, don't doubt, and the Lord will work it out. He rhymes and poetically with a lot of his prophetic word and his teaching, he does that. So this is no surprise coming from him. But as I read that his correspondence, shout, don't doubt, and the Lord will work it out, I launched out on a theme in my own personal studies about how a shout of praise changed situations that could no other way be changed. And so I've been working on this for a while. And it's just a blessing that I get to share it with you tonight. But praise is a weapon. If Nina was here, we'd be singing that. It has to reach some notes that Peter said he didn't want to reach for. So we'll have Nina sing it when she gets back. Praise is a weapon. But praise is even more than that. You know, I think of praise, when you say praise the Lord, I think of someone dancing, shouting, jumping, twirling, you know, being fanatical, being radical, you know, arms in the air. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Yeah. Well, that is praise. But let me share something with you. Praise is an attitude of the heart. You don't have to make a bit of noise. You don't have to say a word to praise the Lord. It's an attitude of the heart more than anything else. Now, if your heart dwells on this and your heart is able to connect to your physical, your heart is able to connect to your body works, then you'll probably find yourself, you know, praising the Lord out loud, and your hands will be in the air and such. But it's all the attitude of the heart. And I had to personally get over something. I used to think if I wasn't making noise and didn't have my hands in the air, I wasn't really praising the Lord. And I was actually beating myself up a little bit, thinking, well, I just don't praise the Lord enough. Because I didn't see myself running around saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And the Lord began to minister to me. He said, praise is the attitude of your heart. What are you thinking? And what is your attitude towards me? Is it a praiseworthy, thankful attitude? That's praising the Lord. So keep that in mind as you endeavor to praise the Lord, that it's all about your heart, first of all, and then anything else is just a result. Amen. When I was a little guy, until I got married at the ripe old age of 18, I used to travel with my dad a lot all over the county, and one of the many things he did to make a living was he would buy and sell cattle. And one of his main sources for cattle for many, many years was a gentleman by the name of Claude Brown. Now, you don't know him, but he's in heaven today because he's my dad's age. But Claude Brown was a Church of Christ brother. He was probably the most faithful man to enter the doors of the local Church of Christ. But he was so in love with Jesus. He just radiated Jesus. And as a little boy, I can remember so many times, several times a year, we would be at his place, and we'd be out there, and Dad would be buying his cattle, the ones that were ready for marketing. And before we would load the cattle, Dad and Claude would go out, and they would make the deal. They would determine the weight of the cattle, determine a price of so much a pound for the cattle. And once they made the deal, Claude would say, well, let's don't load them yet, because if we load them, you'll be taken off and wanting to leave out of here. And he said, I want us to go in the house and fellowship a while. So they'd make the deal, and he'd say, okay, let's go in and have coffee and cookies and get out the good word, and we'll just praise the Lord for a while. So we'd go in, we'd gather around there. They had a big oval farmer's table, I call it, big oval where you could seat lots of people. But we'd go in, and Mrs. Brown would get out the homemade cookies, and she'd put on a pot of coffee. You know, in those days we had percolators that had a little glass bulb on top. You know what I mean? Yeah. I can smell that coffee right now. And anyway, we'd sit around with coffee and cookies, and Dad would get his Bible. Dad took his Bible everywhere he went. And in fact, I still have the Bible he carried in his pickup, because now I have his pickup. Now that Dad's gone to heaven, well, I got his pickup and his Bible. And he'd take his Bible in, and Brother Claude Brown would get his Bible out. And Claude would always turn to a scripture in the Old Testament and say, let us reason together. And they would go to reading the Word of God, and they'd have discussions about the Word of God. And every little bit, there'd be something real positive pop up in the subject matter. And Claude Brown would say, praise the Lord. Now, he wasn't allowed to do that in his church. It was very strict, very traditional, very straight-cut religious. They just didn't make those kind of noises in his church. So, but when he was home, he could make all the noise he wanted to. And he'd say, praise the Lord. And you could just feel it. You know, when somebody says praise the Lord and means it, mean it, you can feel it. And he would just fill that little dining area there around the cookie and the coffee. He would just fill it with the presence of God with sincere praise. Praise is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's an attitude of the heart more than anything else. Because his heart of thanksgiving towards God, his mouth was full of praise. Amen. And according to the psalmist, the word of God teaches us that God lives in the praises of his people. So where does God live? In praise. Where does God live? Somebody answer me. Where does God live? In praise. So if you need to find God, where would you find him? Get your heart full of praise. Remember, it's an attitude of the heart. Condition your heart for praise. Condition your heart for thanksgiving. And then you'll find God. How many of us need to find him once in a while? You know, in this busy life that we have, sometimes it's almost like we're leaving him out of the picture because we're so busy. Lord, I would stop and praise you, Lord, but I've got to get this done. I've got a deadline here. I don't need to talk about that, do I? Oh, hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord and we'll find him there to meet every need. To meet every need. I'm going to turn to some scriptures and read them. And first one's in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. And I'm going to read about seven verses there. I think we're going to have it on the board. Yeah. 17:8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, Choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. And tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the hill with my rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek. Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became weary. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on the stone. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Verse 13, so Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And when the Lord said, then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I may utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, and the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Okay. I see here that Moses' hands were... Did I just get turned on or off? Moses' hands were symbolic of praise and worship. There was no power in itself in the arms of Moses. But the symbolism here is powerful. He was in the mode, in the position, in the stance of praising God with both hands in the air. And what happened? The enemy was defeated. It's interesting how that he needed help, because sometimes it gets tiring praising the Lord. Really? Some people might say, well, it shouldn't. Well, they probably shouldn't. But as long as we're in these human bodies, sometimes it can be a little bit tiring to praise the Lord when you don't feel like it, when you don't want to, when too much of the body hurts, or there's too many things bombarding your mind that you need to be doing. You know, the pain comes in different ways. But it's good to have an Aaron and a Hur, helpers. We need to help one another praise the Lord. You know, maybe I would see you in passing of the day, and you just seemed like, you know, everything was right, your heart was right, and you had a smile on your face, but you was just kind of droopy. You know what droopy means, you know. Isn't that one of the seven dwarfs with Snow White or something? Anyway, sometimes you just need to lift up your brother's hands, spiritually speaking. Say, hey, brother, let's praise the Lord together. Hey, brother, cheer up. Look up. Things are going to turn. God's on our side. Lift him up with your words. Lift his hands up with your words. Lift your hands up with your encouragement and your moral support. Amen? And so here we have what I say is Moses in a praise stance that brought forth a great and mighty victory for all of Israel, all of the people that were under him. Now, Moses was a leader. He was, you could call him the pastor of people of Israel during that time. He was pastoring sheep, so to speak. And when he was in praise, the whole tribe, the whole herd of sheep, the flock of sheep, benefited. And you could bring that down to modern times. You could bring it down to 901 11th Street. You could bring it down to your pastors here. When you hold up your pastor's hands with encouragement, it benefits everyone in the church. If your pastors all came to church all beat up and, you know, droopy, is that another one of the dwarfs? I'm trying to wake you guys up. You're just too solemn tonight. Just too solemn. You need to just start, you know, wake up. Wake up. You can go home and sleep in about an hour. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift up your pastor's hands. Lift up your ministers, your shepherds. Lift up their hands because they are praising God for your victory. Amen. Well, let's just move on. Move on a little bit. In the book of Joshua, chapter 6. See if you can find the book of Joshua. It's just before Judges. Deuteronomy and then Joshua, chapter 6, first five verses. Are you ready? You remember that song, Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho, Jericho. Remember that? Now, Jericho was securely shut up because the children of Israel, and none went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand, its king and its mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all your men of war, and you shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. Verse 4, the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark, but the seventh day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and a priest will blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people will what? Shout with a great shout. And then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. Now we're still in chapter 6. Let's jump to verse number 12. 12 through 16. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord that went on continually and blew the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came up after the ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Verse 14, the second day they marched around the city once, returned to camp, and they did this 6 days. Verse 15. It came to pass on the seventh day they arose early about the dawning of the day, and they marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. And on that day only they marched around the city 7 times. Verse 16, the seventh time it happened when the priests blew the trumpets. And Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Do you remember the rest of the story? The walls came down. Just like Peter's last song, walls are coming down. The walls came down. Now, they tell me that Jericho had really thick walls. They say the walls of Jericho were very high and wide enough for a chariot, horses and a chariot, to ride around the top of the wall. That's a wide wall. But they fell down. What do you see here? As a result of the shout of praise. What do you see here when people were in obedience to praise? Now I can just imagine there were probably a couple old fogies that were in the group saying, this isn't going to do it. We've got to get a strategy going. We've got to get the army set up. We got to get our war machines and our wall knocker downers going. We've got to do something here. We can't just march around and act like something's going to happen when we shout. I'm sure there's a couple old fuddy-duddies there was just, you know, making all kinds of excuses why that wouldn't work. But let me tell you something. Praise does work. Do you have a wall that needs to come down? Praise will bring it down. Yeah. Everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to jump to the book of Judges, chapter 7. And the verse number is 20. Now I'm going to give you a little background before I read the verse 20 of verse chapter 7. Everybody remembers the story of Gideon and the 300 men. The Midianites at that time were just playing havoc with Israel. They said the land was just destroyed before them, as if it was a plague of grasshoppers just destroying the land. I mean, they went out and they just pillaged everything and destroyed everything and didn't leave anything in the way of crops or anything for Israel to eat. And they were killing the people. It was a terrible, terrible siege upon the whole nation. And the Lord came to Gideon and said, Gideon, I'm going to use you to deliver Israel. Well, we all know the story pretty well. Gideon says, well, Lord, I'm the lowest man on the totem pole here. You know, I'm the littlest man in my family, and my family's the littlest one in Israel. And, you know, you got the wrong one here. You got the wrong man. You need to go look for a bigger guy with a bigger tribe and with some resources. But he finally got it through to Gideon, and so Gideon blows his horn and says, gather in, men, gather in, fighting men. And so 30,000 fighting men of Israel come and says, okay, we finally got a leader. We're gonna whip up on these Midianites. And the Lord says to Gideon, pecks him on the shoulder and said, hey, Gideon, you've got way too many guys here. Tell him, if there's any of you guys that are afraid, just go on back home. We don't want you here fighting with us if you're going to be, have a yellow streak down your back. And you know how the 30,000, 20,000 got up and went home. And I could just hear some of Gideon's advisors saying, we need a new plan. God says, I have a plan. It's called a praise plan. You've still got too many men. I want you to take all these men down by the water and have them get a drink of water out of the river and choose out the ones that drink in a certain manner. Well, only 300 men were chosen. And Gideon says, I've got 300 left. We do need another plan. God says, hang in there. I've got a plan. And God gave him a plan. And the plan was for him to take those 300 men and to give them a torch inside of a clay vessel in one hand and a trumpet in the other hand. And he said, I want you to gather around the mountainside, because these Midianites are camped in a valley down by the water. And he said, you're going to gather your 300 men around there. And at the right time at night, I'll tell you when to do it, you're going to break those clay pitchers so that the torch will shine. And you're going to blow that trumpet with all your might. And you just watch what praise will do. Verse 20 says, then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke their pitchers, and they held their torches in their left hand and their trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, and listen to this, this is their shout, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Interesting. We could move, if we had the time tonight and wanted to do this, we could move real fast to the New Testament, because Gideon was using his God-given authority. He said, in the name of the Lord and Gideon. Now, I don't want you to throw any rotten tomatoes, but I'm going to say something I've probably never said before. I believe I could cast out a devil by telling devil, in the name of the Lord Jesus and me. That's what Gideon did. He said, in the name of the Lord and Gideon. Why? How could he do that? Because the Lord had given him authority. Did you know that the Lord has given us authority over demons? One time there was a bunch of demons jumping all over people, and some guys went and tried to cast him out, and the devil jumped on those guys and stripped their clothes off of them and ran them off. And you know what the devil said? This is the book of Acts. The devils are screaming and hollering, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who's this? The devils not only knew the name of Jesus, they knew the name of Paul, who also had authority to use the name of Jesus. It's not my authority. It wasn't Gideon's authority. It wasn't Paul's authority. But it's our authority to use the name of Jesus that puts us in a place of authority that the devils have to bow. And so here we have what is a praise service on the top of the mountain, a praise service of 300 mighty men praising God and blowing their trumpets, making noise unto the Lord, and shouting, in the name of the Lord and Gideon, who won the battle. We know the rest of the story. The Israelites won the entire battle, and all of the enemy actually got so confused by that, they killed themselves. Wow. Praise is a weapon. And I see that Gideon, in his act of torches and shouting and trumpets, is a result of praise that was in their hearts, thanksgiving that was in their hearts. Where am I? Are we going to 2 Chronicles, Peter? 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Everybody ready? 2 Chronicles 20, I believe we'll start with verse 2 and 4. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. What happens when you're afraid? Do this. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast. Okay, now we're going to jump to verse 18 and read 18 through 22. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord and worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to what? To praise the Lord of Israel with what? Loud voices and high. And then they rose early in the morning, went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted the people and appointed those who could sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before or in front of the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 22, now when they begin to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. What did praise do? You really need to get this. What did praise do? Defeated the enemy. I don't know about you, but there's times I have enemies. Now, I'm not talking about people that maybe said something about you. No, I'm talking about the enemy of our soul, the enemy of our person in the form of evil spirits. But if we will praise the Lord will fight our battle. We're still in chapter 20. Look at verse 27 and 28. And then they returned every man to Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God for praise. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but how many people would say, I could use some victory? Just start praising God. Let it be, first of all, the attitude of your heart. And whatever results in that, just let it happen. If you want to cry, if you want to shout, if you want to lift your hands, if you want to do a jig, if you want to fall on your face before God, let the attitude of your heart just be the first thing on your road to victory. And whatever happens after that, just count it up as praise, count it as worship, count it as unto the Lord, and watch your enemies fall. Amen. I really believe this works. We're going to go to Habakkuk chapter 3. All I got to do is find it. That's back there in what they call the minor prophets, where the pages are stuck together. Are you still with me? Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 19. I talked about this a couple weeks ago a little bit. Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines. I want you to start thinking in a term of drought and famine. Crop failure, okay? No rain. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, and though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, and the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there's no herd in the stalls. Yet. I like that word, yet. In verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Wow. Think about that. This is this is a horrible picture of drought and famine. There's no fruit, there's nothing in the field, there's nothing in the garden, nothing will grow, water holes have dried up, there's no flocks, there's no sheep, there's no cattle. I mean, it's drought, it's dust bowl days. It's rough. Yet, are you saved? It says, even when it's as dark as this picture of drought can make it, yet I will praise the God of my salvation. If you're saved, you have something to praise God for. If there's no food on the table, you have something to praise God for. You're saved. If you're in the best hospital bed in town, you've got something to praise God for. You're saved. Everybody say, I'm saved. And I'm going to praise God anyhow. You guys are so cool. I really do like you guys a lot. You're just so good to me. Now let's look at a couple of verses in Psalms 34:1. That's a good one. Did you find 34:1? Now, I could have spent all day or all night in Psalms, because the guys that wrote Psalms really were into praise. I found it, 34:1. I will bless the Lord when? When I feel like it. I'll bless the Lord if I have time. I'll bless the Lord if I need something from Him. What's it say here? I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will praise the Lord no matter what. I will praise the Lord when I'm up. I'll praise the Lord when I'm down. I'll praise the Lord when I'm full. I'll praise the Lord when I'm hungry. I'll praise the Lord when I'm warm. I'll praise the Lord when I'm cold. I'll praise the Lord when the bill collector is knocking down my door. I'll praise the Lord when I got thousands in the bank. I'm going to praise the Lord no matter what. I have determined to praise God. And my enemies will fall. We're still in Psalms. Look at chapter 89. And we'll look at verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord till they run out. I'll sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. And with my mouth I'll make known your faithfulness to all generations. I'll sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Well, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. I can't even play the radio without static. God doesn't care what you sound like. If you'll praise Him no matter what and sing to Him no matter what, your enemies are going to fall. I need some of that, folks. How about you? Yeah, hallelujah. Well, you know, we could go on with this. There's a lot of good things in the Word of God about praising. Oh, why didn't I put this one on the list? It just now popped in my mind. Do you know what I'm thinking? Did you want one more? Since I didn't put it in my notes, I'll just depend on memory recall. Ready? Paul and Silas. Two preachers in the book of Acts. They were preaching. They were casting out devils. They were healing the sick in the authority that had been given them by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the religious folks of the day were very upset. So upset that they pulled a few strings that they had with the local authority and had Paul and Silas put in jail. And back in those days, jail was really jail. It wasn't like the hotels they have nowadays. It was jail. And they said, well, to make sure these guys don't get too rambunctious in the jail, we're going to beat them with a cat of nine tails, 39 stripes. Turn their back into hamburger meat, and then we'll see what they think about this preaching stuff. And then so they can't do anything to help one another and rub one another's back with some kind of healing balm or something. We're just going to put their head and their feet and their hands in stocks. Anybody here know what stocks are? Yeah, it's that big wooden board with the holes in it. They stick their hands and feet and their head through there, and they get locked in place. Come on, you it's in your third grade history book, remember? And what did they do when the midnight hour struck? Praise the Lord. No matter what, I'm going to praise the Lord. Hurts like the dickens, but I'm going to praise Him anyhow. I'm going to praise Him with my last breath, if I have one. And praise Him with my next breath, if I get one. I'm going to praise the Lord. Anyhow, I'm going to praise the Lord. And the Lord sent an earthquake. And the earthquake broke the chains off of them and the stocks off of their neck. Shook that old jailhouse. And the jailer was under supreme command not to let any prisoners go. And he could just visualize all of his prisoners scattering over the city. and visualize what would happen to him the next day. So he pulls his sword out, puts it right up here and said, I'm going to fall on this puppy, drive it through my chest, and end it all right here. And Paul said, hey, jailer, we're all here and we're all staying here. God's the one that turned us loose, and he's the one that's going to keep us together. Don't hurt yourself. The hand of God is in this thing. He came running in, and he knelt down before those brothers and said, what must I do to be saved? He took them home, and he put medicine on their sore backs, and they preached to his wife and his children, and the whole house got saved. Because they praised God no matter what. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, you know, these sort of things are easy to teach and fun to teach, and we have to admit it's easier said than done. But Lord, if you'll help us, and I know you will, if you'll help us to get a well-made-up mind where we make up our mind solidly and for sure that we're going to praise you no matter what. It may hurt so bad we can't get it out of our mouth, but our heart's going to be crying out, I love you, Jesus. I praise your name. And Lord, if you'll keep it as an attitude of our heart, that praise will bring down our enemies and that praise will open our life up to victory. And I just want to thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that because it starts in the heart, we can praise you no matter what's going on the outside. And Lord, I just praise you right now. I praise you for what you've been doing in our lives. I praise you for what you are doing right now in our life. And I praise you for what you'll be doing in our future. I praise you, Lord. And I praise you and I count on you. And I depend on you. And I thank you for the faith that you have developed in our hearts. The faith in praise and the faith in worship as we give our hearts to you. Lord, I count on these praises to set us free from our enemy. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. Lord, we're going to tell the world that praising God can set them free. We're going to tell the world that exalting Jesus will change the situation. Lord, we have a testimony to tell. And we have a word to preach that Jesus and praising Jesus is our victory. Lord, I pray that your special blessing will be upon each and every person tonight. Everybody that's heard this word, Lord, may this word be guarded in their hearts. May this word be stirring in their hearts and leading in their hearts. That they will be determined, that we as a people will be determined to praise you no matter what. And may we say yes and amen to every blessing, every victorious note in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being a part of this service. For you who can come Sunday morning, bring somebody with you. And we'll have a good time Sunday morning. Bless you.